this is Pierce Brosnan. No, sorry. Hello, Colin Farrell. No. Hello, this is Liam Neeson. No, hello, this is Tommy Tiernan on showbizmonkeys.com. Around this town, I'm alright. Around this town,
I'm alright. I mean, no consequence when you playing with the back. Move to the left. Man. What is making you laugh these days? I'm sure it's different than it was a couple years ago even. What kind of things are you finding funny in the world, and what kind of things are you drawing into your own stand-up comedy?
It's curious because I find that most of the day funny thoughts are avoiding me. So I actually spend the day in a quite, I wouldn't say serious, but you know, a very kind of ordinary, mellow place, I suppose, in terms of creativity. And then at night, when you know, when the lightning strikes and you're on stage, what I find funny is as unpredictable as anything. It's so random. So it's very hard to. I know that on stage, is my most creative time comedically.
Okay.
So off stage is just, you're just kind of, you know, just being careful how much coffee you drink and how much you're spending on books. So it's very, I wouldn't say I lead a comic life. I have a very intense experience for 90 minutes or 2 hours every night, but during the day it's just, you know, I may as well be a postman or you know, some kind of a telegraph pole climber. I'm not really, my days aren't filled with hilarity at all.
Are you doing a lot of your joke development these days then on stage during sets, trying out new material that way and then developing new ideas through that?
Oh, completely, yeah. But it's not even using the stage to develop stuff. It's things either arrive fully matured on stage or they don't survive.
Okay.
The stage is not a it's not a rehearsal room. So now something might work one night, not work the next night. That's fine. Something might work one night and last 30 seconds, and you might push it to 40 seconds the following night, and maybe you eventually get it up to like a 5-minute bit. But it's not it's funny because it's things arrive fully fledged. It's the pressure and the intensity of 1,000 people staring at you that I suppose what that does is that charges you with an inspiration that you don't get during the day. So I find that it's an intensely alive experience in the evening where things come completed, I suppose.
Well, it sounds like you thrive on that relationship with the audience. What are you hoping to get out of the experience for yourself? Are you just looking for the laughs, or is it like, is there a sense of release? Are you trying to just connect with the audience as much as possible, or all of that?
Yeah, I mean, all those things could be, you know, summarized in the word aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're looking for. You know, you're not looking for a kind of a graveyard, auditorium. You're looking for a place of aliveness, and it has all those things that you mentioned: connection with the audience, fun, a sense of the unpredictable. Those things which we thrive for, but those, you know, those things only come through risk. You only get those feelings by making yourself vulnerable. In a kind of, it's almost like competitive vulnerability. it's a the rewards you want won't come unless you take chances.
Right.
So it's about learning how to take chances. It's about to genuinely seek something, I suppose, something wild and something new. And but it comes at a price, you know, and the price is, I've been doing these shows in Europe and in Ireland recently that are completely improvised from start to finish. No suggestions from the audience, no games, no structure, no technique.
Mm-hmm.
Just a spontaneous monologue that careers from one kind of subject to the next, to wherever the wind blows, you go.
Yeah.
And the feeling of that is of complete transformation. That's the most wonderful work that I do, but it's the riskiest that I do, because you have to abandon your reputation, because you're standing in front of the crowd as a beginner, a beginner with nothing other than a compulsion to share. So that spirit has been, the material shows are a little bit different in that they are, what you're trying to do is you're trying to bring the same qualities to a show you're trying to bring the same sense of adventure to a show that has structure.
Right.
Has, you know, rhythm that you've established over time. But the most awful experience is to go out and to feel dead and just like and lifeless. So that has to be avoided at all costs, because if you're just repeating previous moments in a very self-protected way,
mm-hmm.
Then it's, you know, it's just not enjoyable, and it takes all the kind of takes all the delight out of being a stand-up.
You're in the middle of touring Canada right now.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the differences in the approach to the shows you had been doing recently in Europe versus the ones you're doing right now. But the other thing I'm curious about is, I've talked to a lot of comics over the years who have toured Canada, and they always say Canadian audiences are very supportive, but it's sometimes hard for them to really get into the moment and really express themselves in a more vocal, obvious way. And so I wonder if you've experienced that in trying to get that aliveness out of a Canadian crowd, and if you have to maybe push a little harder for them to get, get out of their comfort level a little bit.
Well, no, I haven't found that. I mean, I don't know if you consider the Maritimes part of Canada, you do?
The Maritimes is a little bit different, even though, yes, it is, of course, Canada.
So my experience so far has been that the Maritimes, we did 6 shows in the Maritimes, and the people there come as one group. So they arrive at a show as a community.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they might not know each other, but there's a kind of an invisible kind of unity in the group. So it's easier to get a crowd like that going.
Yeah,
they respond very quickly, and they're kind of much easier to work. When you play, I'm playing in Toronto at the moment, and so Toronto is a very diverse audience that don't come as a community. Toronto comes as a bunch of individuals, so sometimes it can take a while before they gel together as a crowd. So that's the only difference I found, is that, you know, you're playing to a lot more individuals in the larger urban areas. I can't remember what it's like from Toronto across, you know, Winnipeg and Calgary and Vancouver and these places. Although I do remember doing a show in Victoria and feeling like it reminded me of the Maritimes,
okay.
You know. So I think that's just a rather than it being a Canadian trait, I think it's more a kind of a big metropolis thing that goes on, you know. And also, maybe one of the other things is that when I'm touring Canada, I'm not a comedian who works in the States.
Right.
So I'm not somebody who, you know, is hopping from Minneapolis to Detroit and up to Vancouver, you know. So I'm someone who is here specifically to tour Canada. Mm-hmm. My only real North American experiences have been with Canadian audiences. So I don't have a North American audience to compare Canadians to.
Yeah.
You know, so, and my focus, my material, the material that I've developed in Canada is for Canadians.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's my I'm intensely concentrated on this country while I'm here. So maybe that makes a bit of a difference in terms of getting a crowd going, is that you know, you haven't just flown in for one day and then are flying back to LA in the morning. Canada is firmly in my sights, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely it does. I'm curious, I just read that you just did, earlier this year, 14 sold-out shows in Dublin.
Yeah.
To me, that just seems remarkable that like that you can get that many people out consistently that many nights. How did it feel for you being, you know, from Ireland and
yeah,
getting that kind of support from your home country?
Well, you know, the comedy has changed in the past 8 years, probably, that you now get comedians who are filling stadiums. So I know Russell Peters would do, you know, stadium-sized crowds here, and probably some of the American guys would as well, you know, maybe Kevin Hart or these people.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers thing is it's not a good comparison to be making, because there are always going to be people who are selling more tickets than you.
Right.
You know, so that's just part of the game, you know. But I remember, I mean, I would remember, say, about 6 years ago, I think, or maybe even more probably, God, it might be nearly 10 years ago, actually, that in Dublin, I did 56 nights in a 1,000-seater in Dublin.
Wow.
So, you know, I remember that.
Yeah.
And kind of, and at the time, it didn't mean anything to me at all, you know, but now, you know, when you say, oh, you must feel great at doing, at having done 14, I go, well, you know, you know, 10 years ago, I did nearly four times that. So it's not really, so the number thing really means nothing to me. I'm privileged and pressurized in this business. You know, I'm privileged to make a living and I'm under huge pressure to come up with good shows. So I carry both those experiences with me. One of relief at being able to earn a living, and stress at having to come up with material.
You're calling this tour the Out of the Whirlwind Tour.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what went into that?
Well, the name of the tour always has to, it's more important to me than it is to the audience.
Yeah.
Because I see it all the time. So I see it in every venue. I'm constantly bombarded with the name of the tour. So the name has to be something that inspires me. And just as a kind of a little encouragement each evening.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I chose the name Out of the Whirlwind was because it seemed to me to mean more than one thing. And they're the phrases that work best. So for me, Out of the Whirlwind means, it has a biblical connotation in that when in the Old Testament, when Job drew God's wrath, God appeared to him and spoke to him out of a whirlwind.
Mm.
It means for me that also that I'm speaking from a place of chaos and energy. And it also means that maybe the kind of a parallel meaning to that would be because a lot of the show is about the joy of not being as highly sexed as I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling a little bit more. I still have a huge amount of creative energy. That energy probably used to be sexual and ambitious in worldly terms. But now it's much more, it's less libido and more recklessness. So I'm out of that whirlwind. So it means a few things, you know, and as long as I can never entirely pin the meaning down, then it will stay inspiring.
Finally, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Edinburgh Fringe, which doing again this year.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about that experience going back there, and what it does to you and how it might revitalize every year your material and your energy and just being around that much creativity for a month.
Yeah, it's inspiring to see what else is going on. The most interesting things are probably are happening on the fringe of the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a pleasure to see genuine, brilliant new creativity. I'm doing the improvised show there.
Okay.
So I used to kind of consider Edinburgh as a shop window. You know, you'd go and you'd do your stuff and you try and get maybe television executives to come and see you, or you try and get, you know, people who booked festivals in Melbourne and Colorado to come and see you. But I'm going back this time with a show that, like I mentioned earlier on, is about abandoning reputation and is so risky.
Mm-hmm.
That I think it's probably truer to the spirit of the Fringe when the Fringe started, which is one of experimentation and risk. So they're the hardest shows that I do, and I'd be wrong if I told you, it'd be wrong if I told you I was looking forward to it. I'm already feeling under pressure.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a show you can't prepare for. But I get a huge kick out of going to see theatre there, music. You know, I love going to see odd stuff from Russia, you know, or, you know, Mexico, or, you know, a kind of a blind dance troupe from Poland. And there's always, you know, some really, really brilliant comic stuff as there as well. So, but like I said, the work that I'm doing there is not one that I can take comfort in. But I'm proud, I suppose, to be doing it at the festival. You know, I think.
Great. Well, yeah, we're really looking forward to having you come out to Western Canada this next week.
Great. Thank you.
And yeah, hopefully in the future you can bring a fully improvised show out to Canada, and we can embrace it.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I think I'd have to play smaller rooms and stuff, but that'd be fantastic.
Showbizmonkeys.com.